This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I don't eat it, although I did. I mentioned I ran to the store yesterday after the show, and we needed a couple of vitals. I grabbed a big bag of Ruffles. The cheddar and sour cream, to me, the top chip on the aisle, in the aisle.
And I don't even hate that. I just have to say, I can't wait to say it. I don't even hate that. Okay. I want to hate it, but I don't.
Okay. Good, because you'd be wrong to hate it.
It's not number one, but it's...
Okay. Anyway. Fine. There are other contenders. I'm not like saying
it's not undeniably one.
Like they're the Rolling Stones or something. But they, you know, it's
they're
whatever.
Like they're they're like. I really want to nail this now. they're the Eagles.
Yeah. Look, as long as you're not coming to me with like Bugles are a chip. And they belong in the conversation for best chip or something. Like, I'm sorry, I'm going to hit you in the face with a shovel.
No time for Bugles.
Kind of nonsense. No. So anyway, I bought the big bag, and I waited until the third period of last night's Sabres-Islanders tilt and opened it. And Leo and I had a reasonable amount, which I'm positive is still way more than like the suggested serving, whatever the nonsense on the back of the bag is. But we did not rip through the entire bag. We never even got to the point in the bag where you look in the bag and go, it's not even really worth saving. We didn't get to that. We just had some, closed it back up, and put it away.
What's that, like 30 chips? What's a reasonable number? More than a serving size, but not stupid.
Yeah.
30?
Yeah. Sure.
30 chips?
Yeah. They were the chips were not in great shape. I dropped them getting out of my truck when I got home because I only brought one bag into the store, and I had 3 gallons of milk. And of course, like a moron, it's like, you know, I can't make more than one trip back out to my truck, so I had to grab my big bag full of groceries and the 3 gallons of milk. And I'm just carrying this bag of chips, and I of course dropped it.
How do you carry 3 gallons of milk? Like you just have your fingers woven through the.
Yeah, left hand, all like thumb, and then through the other two, and like that's it.
I think at the store I go to, you're only allowed to buy one milk.
Really?
I was last at the grocery store on Sunday morning, and it was a limit on eggs, milk, butter.
Wow.
Maybe other stuff. Probably like the paper aisle, you know, toiletries. Yeah, there might have been a limit on that. But at Wegmans in the Falls.
Yeah, we've definitely had that. I'm at Dash's on Hurdle in this scenario, and the paper products are a mess. They didn't even have any toilet paper. There was a limit on paper towel rolls, but milk and dairy stuff has been, you know, go nuts.
You know, I want to say something about grocery stores. I echo everybody's sentiment here, like, thank you and just good for you. I mean, thank you for the work. And it's a necessary place, and I love to go grocery shopping as it is, and I just appreciate the job that's being done there. I think about, I've been to Wegmans and Tops on the island, you know, a few times each in the last 3 weeks. Not too often, but, you know, I'm still going. I like to go, and I want to make sure I'm not, you know, caught unprepared, things like, I'm not buying yep. 3 gallons of milk at a time, but, you know, for the most part, I want to, you might go through milk more often. You guys just drink milk. You take milk out of the fridge and pour it in a glass. That does not happen in my house.
18 and 16-year-olds, I mean, it is.
Milk drinkers.
Like, I will buy 4 gallons at a time, come home, like before I go to work, say, okay? I'll run to the store and load up. This is, you know, pre this, right? And leave 4 new gallons of milk in the fridge at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The kids aren't even home yet. They get home at 3, 3:30, 4 o'clock.
How big is the fridge?
The fridge is huge. Owen often is later than that because of hockey stuff, but whatever. I will get home at whatever time we get home, 7:15, and there's already a gallon of milk empty. And it's like, what? I mean, what? Just what? That's like a bowl of cereal for a snack when you get home. That's just as a drink while you're playing video game. It just goes. And I walk in there and I think, like, already? Like, already with that? So, yeah, I buy a lot at a time.
Wow. Well, let me say the thing then. So,
yeah, sorry.
I want to show my appreciation for the stores and the people who are running them and working there, like everyone, you know? But also, so you walk into the grocery store, like this is, by you, I mean me, and I think a lot of other people. You walk into the store right now, and it's on your mind. You see the sanitizer right at the front. There's also, like, the sanitizer or the paper towel set up right in front of the carts, you know? Like, the store is doing the job. And so it's on your mind already. Like, am I going to touch the cart or the railing, or, like, am I going to bump into somebody, whatever. Like, you're nervous. You're going to be, after however many hours or days you've been not around people, now you are going to be around people. And so you're thinking about it. And I walked around the store, and I'm thinking about it, and, like, I'm edgy. Like, I imagine almost everyone in the store is. There might be some people who aren't. I don't know how you do it. But, you know, we're all just sort of edgy. So I'm walking around the store, getting what I need. What's on my mind is get through this. You know, like, suddenly going to the grocery store is not a pleasure. Usually for me, it is a pleasure. I have come to really enjoy going. I plan when I go. I know when they have, like, the samples out. Like, I kind of want to be there for that, you know, just because it's kind of more fun and I can talk to the workers. And it's not a pleasure right now. It is just sort of, like, it is work. But I know I am projecting my own nervousness onto the scene. And if I weren't thinking about all of this in those moments, I don't know if I would even, like, sense anything. How would you sense anything being different? You know, people are going to say, "Wait, everybody's sort of nervous in the grocery store." How would you know? I mean, maybe you hear a conversation, maybe somebody's wearing a mask, but that nervousness that you take in there is what you're projecting onto that. And really, it's very much like any other time where people are walking around with their carts picking up groceries. You know, like, what is really that different about it? Some of the rules are different, which is fine and to be expected. You have to be a little bit farther back in line, or, you know, when I went, the lines were pretty long. But, you know, okay. So when I sort of grasp this, then I put a smile on my face, and then I'm like, I'm going to be the guy in the grocery store. I'm not talking to everybody, but you can't transmit this thing through eye contact.
Right.
Like, if I look at you, you're not getting coronavirus. And I might look at you. You know, I sort of want to help the whole thing sort of go better for everybody if I can. I'm not my dad, who would be the kind of person that would start a conversation with everybody in the store, maybe, you know, about the weather or about the bills or about whatever it is on his mind. I'm not going to go that far. But, and, you know, I don't say that disparagingly because I sort of admire how he's like that. But I do want to to lighten the mood. I mean, what do I really mean? I just mean that nervousness you probably feel in the store is your own.
Yeah, I think I think that's right. I love how all that sounds. Like, I've been trying. I think I've said this before, and I'm not. going to come off like I'm, I think I'm like the most wonderful person on earth or something. I haven't always thought like this, but in the last year maybe or so, I have found myself in settings like that. A crowded store, everyone's rushing, like some, not everyone, but some people are stressed and like whatever. And I just try to sort of lay back and smile and just sort of, it's all right, I'll get my bacon. You know, like I got time. I am not in a hurry. It's very rare that I will go to the store when I'm going to be rushed. I usually try to carve out time so that I don't end up, you know, turning it into a thing where my emotions get out of check or something. Like I like to just sort of, I don't want to go with I enjoy it or look forward to it. Like you're saying, it is more of a chore than anything else. But I try to make it as pleasant for myself as possible and hope that that is going to be felt by people who are in my orbit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been thinking that way already. And this is just like added to it. But you do have, there's a lot of, there's a lot of self-conscious happening, you know? Am I far enough away? I mentioned earlier, like, you know, waiting for someone to get done in the milk cooler and then taking my turn and all that. I was standing buying some apples and oranges yesterday when I got to the store. And what do people normally do when they're standing there buying apples or oranges that are not already bagged up?
You feel them.
You feel that. You look at them, like especially like I'm buying Honeycrisp apples. Those are the apples that I really like, and they're not cheap. So I don't want to get a damaged one, right? So as I'm doing this yesterday, like the first couple of apples I pick up, they're fine. They meet whatever criteria I've established is good enough for me and my family, and I don't even really know what that is.
Nobody has written on them.
Right. No, there's not a puncture wound on
right.
there.
Nobody has dug their fingernails into them.
Right. So, okay, this is good. But and then I thought, what if the apple I picked up was bruised? Am I now, like, are people looking at me if I put it down?
Did you?
I did not yesterday have to do that with either apples or oranges.
But would you?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
I think I wouldn't.
But I felt I was much more careful about what I was going to pick up. So the whole thing, I mean, I'm going to make it sound like this is a long, drawn-out thing. I mean, how interesting is this? Oh, my gosh, I'm sorry. But I instead of just rushing and grabbing, I'm looking to, as best I can visually,
yep,
ascertain, okay, that orange looks like it'll be easy to peel and ripe and good. I'm going to grab it. And instead of picking it up and then putting it back down because I'm rushing. And it was a whole thought process I've never experienced before yesterday.
Right. Once you touch it, it's yours.
Right. That's how it, that kind of is how it feels like it probably
it's like
should be.
Touching it is like breaking it.
Right. And I don't know, maybe that's how it always should be.
Yes.
You know, like, right? Like, who are we? Like, I wrote today, this is a part of, it's kind of like a stream of consciousness piece I put up, Derek helped me put up at the website today. And it's like, how did I decide I know what a good orange looks and feels like? Like, I didn't have a class on that.
Well, you don't have to be an expert on it, but your first decision is binding now.
Yeah, right. Right. That's how it feels now.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. I was this way with green peppers.
Like I look
sort
it.
Of. I'm tilting my head to the side to see if there's any reason why I shouldn't pick that pepper because I've decided once I touch it, it's going in, it's mine. Like there's no way. It's really like you don't want anybody to see you, like you said, touching it and then leaving it.
Right.
Because that would look bad, and there might then be a confrontation. But it's also safe. It's also, you know, why would you be nervous about that? Because somebody else might have touched it. You don't know that.
Right.
So you're using the hand sanitizer. You're washing your hands before you go. You're washing them as soon as you get home. That's the best you can do. I mean, we still need food, and if we can, you know, that's the best you can do. I think that's the best you can do. I'm not going to go touching the fruit, though, and then putting it back.
Right, and we haven't yet ascended to tongs for the fruit.
Fruit tongs.
fruit tongs, because then like then, well, I don't know, are the tongs clean? It just I mean, I just,
well,
I have no idea.
Look, you can every in anything you can get, you can keep going and get to a point of no return on that. Like, well, who touched this? You know, but I read an article yesterday on food, and I felt pretty good about, like, you know, restaurants, right? Restaurants need us. And I've got lots of friends, as you do, in restaurants. And I'm already, like, I've been out two or three times in the last week to, you know, try to support them. By the way, in each case, it was very busy. Like, last night and last week when I went, another time. Like, each time I went to do this, it was very busy. So, good, you know.
Yeah.
But what can you, like, you can't just, to do that will expose you to some risk. It's just, it's slight, or it's probably slight, and you take your precautions, and you have to choose. You know, you have to choose. Are you going to have a friend over and sit 6 feet apart? Are you only going to sit outside? Are you going to go to a restaurant for pickup if someone else is going to bring you your bag? Like, some of this stuff,
right?
You know, some people will just not do anything, and on a certain level, you know, I can respect that, of course. I mean, that's what we're all supposed to be doing, and that's a good thing. Like, obeying that is a good thing. Staying home. But, you know, I think a lot of us are trying to find ways to still be a part of the community and not, you know, be insane about it. And maybe shouldn't use that word. You know, you want to just read the information, take it seriously, and then from there do your best.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I think we're like-minded here, and like I'm pretty comfortable that it's at least okay, if not perfectly right, to be doing things the way we're doing. You know, you're mentioning restaurant pickup and whatever. It's funny, as we're talking here, I just got
you're out at a restaurant?
No, well,
is that what you're going to tell me? You left your attic and you're out somewhere. You're at Shango right now.
If we had this kind of flexibility with this equipment, I would be roaming all over the place, but we don't yet. Although I guess I could like sort of turn this into like a backpack and just go out with it. But no, I got a text message. I put in an order with Community Beer Works earlier today to have them deliver us some beer, and it was supposed to come tomorrow, but I just got a text that said, "Your beer is on the way." I'm like, okay, great. It's cool. Is it okay for you to just leave it on the porch? Because I'm in the attic doing a radio show. But
I have had some experience so far with that, not with Community Beer Works, and I've needed to produce my ID. And when I wasn't there, the one time I wasn't there, I needed to send a picture of it.
Okay. I think that probably is exactly the right way to go about something like this, so that you don't end up with, you know, a house full of kids who ordered a bunch of beer while their parents are away and, you know, whatever. But I think these, I mean, I'm hopeful that these guys, they some of them have been to my house. I don't know who's going to deliver the beer, but I'm friends with a lot of these people. And so I'm hopeful that they're not going to have to stand there on the porch until I can run downstairs with my license. But you never know. I mean, if they need to dot I's and cross T's, I mean, I'll respect that. But
one more on the grocery store real quick. So would you normally choose and now the self-checkout or the cashier?
I like to go to the self-checkout whenever I can. And yesterday, the lines were pretty long at the regular checkouts, but they only had one of the self-checkouts going. And there were a couple of people who were there that looked like they had just started. But there was no one else waiting. So I initially stood, you know, far enough behind them, but like sort of I was squatting on the self-checkout. And then I realized that I've never gone through the self-checkout with fruit. Like, I've got apples and oranges, and I wasn't real sure, like, what is it going to ask me for here? Is it going to ask me for that little code that's on that sticker? I just went, you know what? I'm going to go to a regular checkout. I don't know how to handle the fruit in this situation. Like, I've got bananas, and they're the organic
4011,
ones,
by the way.
What's that?
4011, by the way. Oh, not the organic ones. There's a different number for that.
Okay.
The number is the same in every store.
Oh, yeah?
Sure. The four-digit number? Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, somebody Somebody came up with that, and it's the same in every four. Bananas are 4011.
Wow. So have you gone through self-checkout with fruit, and like, what does it prompt you
yes.
to do? Does it ask you what is this?
Well,
and you type in B-A-N and it goes bananas.
I bag all of them. So like where the peppers or whatever, like it'll always be in a bag with the sticker. I'll weigh it in the produce department, and then scan it at the self checkout so it'll know what it is.
Oh,
then. But so I am choosing the cashier now. Like I like self checkout too, but it's way more touching. Like the credit card machine, well, you still have to do that once or twice at the cashier, but there's just way more buttons and touching the steel and touching the scans and everything, so I'm choosing the cashier.
Okay. I don't know if Dash's has a place where I can weigh and then get, like, I know, like, places where I've bought coffee before where you grind your own coffee. You weigh it and you tell the machine what coffee you have and it gives you a sticker and then you're on that and then you can just check out with that. I don't know if Dash's has that for the fruit that I'm buying. If they do, I think I will utilize it, but I don't know where to get a sticker that I could just scan. Like I go through the checkout at Dash's with a bag, plastic bag full of apples and they count the apples they weigh them. And they do all that there. Like, I don't have that prepared for them. So I can't self-check out with that. Yes.
All right. Anyway, I don't know that store that well.
I might be behind the times. Probably. It's very likely I'm behind the times.
I read an article that said that the person who wrote it was writing about grocery stores and wrote, I'll choose self-checkout because I'd still prefer that to the interaction with the cashier, not knowing them. But I feel differently. I'd rather just not be touching all the stuff, all the... You know, the monitors and everything, which you have to do. You're always just typing in something. I don't need that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, you could maybe, this would obviously be lying. You know, you go out, you're a single guy, you go out, you're making conversation. You meet a woman. She's like, what do you do? And you're really not excited to tell her. You'd be like, well, you probably can't say that you did it because that wouldn't be believable. But maybe like my dad invented the code that all the fruit and vegetables have at the store. And that'd be kind of interesting. It's not true. You don't want to start off. What I'm saying is don't do this. That's what I'm actually saying.
Right. But it's a great idea.
It's a conversation starter. Have you noticed, let's pick a different path into this. Have you noticed that all the number is the same in every store? Yeah. Bananas are 4011. I hope that's right, by the way.
I want to make sure that you're not playing me here.
No, like, I'm not. I'm not.
That's
I'm not.
Real. I've never known that. I have never noticed that.
Yeah, there's a name for it. Like there's a universal produce code.
Fruit code.
Yeah, fruit code. All right, 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Been very, very blessed as a coach to have been around some of the great ones, and now to have the greatest one of all time. Not because of, to me, what he does on the field, but what he does to his teammates. Everywhere he makes everyone better that walks into that huddle.
Bruce Arians, right there, his new quarterback is Tom Brady. Real quick, I heard Jeremy tweet that he, if I'm not misstating it, is at least tempted to root for Brady in Tampa. Yeah. And I understand that. Like, you know, it's more the team that I dislike than the player. So if he succeeds and they fail, like I can at least see taking some satisfaction in that.
Yeah. I think he wrote in that piece that a sentiment that I think I mentioned yesterday or the day before about how, like, I don't really, I never know for sure how I'm going to feel about something. Like, I can guess, but things can change. I guess maybe the best example of that is I loved LeBron James in Cleveland. He leaves, and it's, you know, just a, it was a gross mess how he left. And, like, okay, well, I'm prepared to hate him forever, and so go to Miami, and I will root against you, and that'll work for me. I'll watch more basketball because I have a villain to root against. And within, like, a year or two of him being in Miami, I wanted him to win. And I didn't plan that. You know, it just sort of happened. I turned on basketball, and he was playing, and I thought, like, he's great. I want him to prove his greatness again and again and again. And that's it. And I don't know. Brady is a little closer to home, obviously. He's been just a horror figure for us. I mean, for all these, for 20 years. But I wouldn't just dismiss what, like, Jeremy's premise here. That if New England, I think especially if New England goes south, and that will enhance the possibility of me enjoying Brady if he's good. But I'm also fully prepared to love it if he's terrible. You know, like, I just don't, I don't know. We're going to get going, and we'll see where it goes. But I liked that he put that out there and was thinking about that, because I like thinking about that sort of thing. Like, where am I going to be? Where am I going to be standing when, you know, you need to hear from me about this? And right now, I can't say I know for sure, because it's just so wild that we've got this, you know? Like, I know guys change teams. I just referenced LeBron James. But as far as, like, football quarterbacks go, don't we kind of have to go back to Montana leaving San Francisco for Kansas City for someone who's accomplished anywhere near as much as Brady changing teams? Like, we all us old guys are like, I remember Johnny Unitas not playing in Baltimore and all that. I mean, it's forever ago.
Well, you have Manning, and then, yeah. I think Favre is the better one for me. Like, Favre,
okay. Yep,
Favre going
right
to the Jets.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Minnesota, but,
yep,
you know.
That's right.
Favre,
that's
on, right, on the Vikings and the Jets was just weird,
yeah,
you know?
Yes, it was.
Montana,
that's,
was,
right,
too. Manning was less so. I was kind of expecting Manning to retire before he went to Denver, and there was a year off in there, so I think that was less,
yeah,
you know, weird.
That's right. There are more current. Those are, see, it's good that you're here. Those are very obvious, much more current examples of huge Hall of Fame, Super Bowl winning quarterbacks who left one place and went to another.
Yeah, it's happened many times. Only a few guys, like Kelly didn't leave, but Kelly had a short career for a Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, he played 11 years for the Bills. Elway is somebody who went longer than that, one team. There's a pretty short list of the greats.
Right.
Greasy was one team. Also, his career wasn't super long.
Marino.
Yep. You don't remember Marino on
Jacksonville?
On Jacksonville?
No, I don't. I blacked that out. I don't remember that happened.
We have George with us. Hi, George.
How are you guys doing today?
Okay.
Good, George. How are you holding up, bud?
I'm doing good. I'm just listening to your conversation and just can't wait to see the first few Bill Belichick press conferences when that city and that press come down on them like a crushing blow when they start off 0-4. I can't wait for it.
All right, 0-4. We'll see. Let's see if it happens.
Let's see. Yeah. Well, you know, I called earlier. I own a grocery store here in Fredonia that was going to touch base on some of the things that we're doing here. And
okay.
I didn't know if you guys were interested in talking more grocery or,
yeah,
sports.
Sure, yeah.
But you know, I think in Chautauqua County right now, we have like three cases. And so if there's three tested cases, you know, I got to think there's a couple hundred out there probably walking around. And this past weekend at our store, we were so busy. We're a specialty fresh meats, produce, deli, cheeses. We're kind of an old school Italian deli. We have 45 employees. We were so busy, and you know, people of course trying to stock up, that I could see the fear in our employees' eyes. So we decided, really, you know, that day when it was all over with, just to end the fear, and we did complete separation between our employees, our store, and the general public. And I'm kind of surprised we don't see more of this. What we're doing is when truck drivers deliver, they stay in their truck. Everything comes inside and directly into our coolers with no display. All of our employees, we've gone through them. Any of our younger people that were away from spring break, they're automatically on a two-week lockdown of their own to see if they're fine. The rest of our employees have all, you know, we've promised each other, work home, that's what we have to do. So what we're doing is you would call into our line. We would take your number, call you right back on a cell phone to keep our main line open. And then we take your order. We put your order together. Our cashier calls you, takes your credit card number. All of our stock is picked directly from the cases that they were delivered in, so there's very little handling to them. They go into your bag. Your bag is stapled shut. We know the time that you're coming because obviously when you're telling us you're coming, you simply come right through our front door. Your bag is waiting there, and out you go. So there's absolutely no touching.
So there's no alternative to that? Like, I can't walk in?
No.
Okay. No. All right.
No. You know, and of course, it's uncomfortable and it's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really surreal for all of us. But at least on here, our response has been great. We've had so many people thank us because it's taking that weirdness. When you're in a grocery store, even if I go to Tops or Walmart, I mean, you just feel like you're walking on a different planet and that you have to be careful from everybody and everything that you touch.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that's how this virus is spreading on surfaces that people don't even realize that they're touching in a public area.
Well, that's one way.
I mean, there's a lot of ways, obviously.
Right, right. It's the most common way is, you know, like droplets, right? Nose and mouth. But this is true, too. Well, you know, good for you for being so conscientious. You know, you're doing it from a certain standpoint, but then also from a business standpoint and making it work. Good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, George. I forgot to ask George if he was, like, blown away that Bulldog did not know all the fruit codes are the same.
fruit codes, right.
But, yeah, right.
Update on home delivery of beer. As it happened, that commercial break came, and Chris Smith, who had texted me and said, your beer's on the way, had followed that up with, ha-ha, you're talking about me just as I pull up. And I saw that as we went to the break. So I ran downstairs and met him, got the beer, and then noticed on my phone there was a message from them that said, we can't just leave it on your porch. Even though we know you, we can't just leave it on your porch. You have to. So I needed to be there.
Okay.
For recognition's sake. Perhaps if I didn't know these people like I do, I would have needed to produce ID like you indicated. I would bet that that's the case, but I've known Chris Smith for 10, 15 years. I don't know. So, like, I think he knows who I am. So I didn't need my license, but I needed to be there. So they're not just going to drop it for you. Someone's got to be there to answer, I think.
Okay, good. I mean, that's been kind of fun.
Yeah.
Twice I've gone to restaurant friends and taken wine with me. You know, usually you can sit at a restaurant and open a bottle of wine, order a bottle of wine, and then this is still a relatively new law too. I don't know, like 10 years or something, how they can cork it and put it in a bag for you to drive home. Now you can just buy a bottle and take it home like you can from a outlet liquor or a place like that.
Right.
All right.
I appreciate the firsthand grocers update.
Yeah.
The things we never thought we'd hear. I didn't know if you guys still wanted to talk about groceries. Sure. Of course we do.
If you get to us, we want to talk about exactly the thing you called in to talk about. That's how it works. I've talked to George many times. He's been on before. One thing he said about the virus is that way more people have it than know it. And that's the case. And so that's the thing that's unsettling when you walk around a place where there are other people, you know, not that there are too many of those places open at the moment, but a grocery store is one of them, not his, that you just can kind of do the math on it and feel like there are people around you, maybe even you, that are carrying. But you just, there are things you have to do. And if you're doing your utmost to keep your hands clean and watching what you touch, then good.
Right. One of those things for me, for at least through the weekend and hopefully through next week, I will not have to be going out to buy beer.
Yes,
I got that. I'm all done.
And what, you know, the combination of enjoying to go to the grocery store as much as I do and the sort of the paranoia about what the future may be like sort of leads me to, oh, we're out of apples. I'd better go get apples. Right. But what I'm not doing that. You still want to limit those trips. You know, you can't never go, but you want to limit those trips because it's just smarter to. And, you know, they've written about the food supply that, you know, we're not too, like, fearful about that. Like, that's not dire straits. So, you know, read on that. Just don't settle for what I'm saying my clumsy way. Pick your spots when you need to go to the store. Pick your spots. We'll come back. And a quick word on how it was supposed to be opening day. After this, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Very good. Right now, I'm here with some information from the folks at Excelsior Orthopedics Express. We're obviously, as the context of this conversation indicates, we're living through an extraordinarily different time right now. Things have changed. And as we're hunkering down to try to stop the spread of this virus, you know, life goes on. There's a bunch of kids out playing street hockey, roller hockey in the church parking lot across the street from my house. Lots of folks were out in the park, to my eyes, safely distanced from one another. But nonetheless, you got people exercising and maybe even starting up anew here with the weather turning towards spring. So it's the time of the year that maybe you're going to suffer a strain, sprain, or break because accidents are going to happen. Well, especially now, I would encourage you to avoid hospitals and general urgent care centers. Great doctors and nurses at those facilities need to focus on the care of folks who may be battling the virus or other serious health conditions. Take some of the pressure off. Go to Excelsior Orthopedics Express with injuries to your muscles, bones, or joints. Excelsior Orthopedics Express expert urgent care is designed exclusively for those types of injuries. So you can come in, see a specialist, and walk out with everything you need. I'm talking about imaging, casting, splints, you name it. Excelsior Express is open evenings and weekends at their Sheridan Drive and Amherst location and weekdays in Orchard Park and Niagara Falls. To reserve your spot, call ahead 250-9999 for Excelsior Orthopedics Express.
All right, welcome back. A good fourth hour ahead. We've got football and hockey for you planned. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Today was to be opening day in the major leagues. It would have been the first one ever that every team played on.
Ooh.
Yep. But, of course, no. And so, as we have talked here and there about watching old sports, even a little bit also today, one thing about baseball for me, like I am a baseball guy. One thing about old baseball for me is that it really, there's so many games too. Like it really doesn't matter who wins. Like a hockey game, a hockey playoff game, it just matters who wins. And hockey guys, maybe more like you, would appreciate all the action of it. And I can to some extent, but it's like all about who wins the game. And like today on MLB Network, they had a Yankees-Indians game on because it was the game in which Derek Jeter hit his first home run. And that's what was on MLB when I got here. Did you see it? Is that what you're going to say?
No, I did not. No, okay. No, I just that's really I would have enjoyed seeing that.
Yeah, and I don't even know who won even with it on here. I think the Yankees, but David Cone was pitching for the Yankees, and I love David Cone with the Mets, and then throughout his career. And so you can really, if you're a baseball guy, you watch it. One thing you can get out of it, no matter who wins the game or what year it is you're watching the pitcher. And trying to sort of go along with the pitcher. And that's probably not something you did the first time you watched a game, even if it just happens to be a game you've seen already. Like this one, I couldn't even tell you if I watched it. You know, just doesn't mean anything to me. But Cone then, and now it's Kershaw in the next block on MLB. Just to watch these guys, you know, it works better for me than other old sports do. Because it's just about I don't like using this word for it, the craft, you know, it's about the craft. So that's a point I can make here on an opening day that isn't one.
I want to squeeze in real quick before we hit the top of the hour here. Mike, you know Canadian Superman, right? John Gale, our buddy John
yep.
Gale. He's family at this point, and so he's in Canada, Canadian Superman, and we can't go see him. He can't come here. He's got a kid in Toronto. His other son Alex is in Shanghai. He's ridden this ride from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had sort of a conduit into, expectations and whatnot. Anyway, that's all just background. John Gale is the friggin' best. We love him, and it's his birthday.
All right.
So happy birthday, Canadian Superman.
All right, John Gale, good for you. That guy's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's the best.
All right, coming back with Dan Leberfeld. We'll talk some AFC East. Stay tuned.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.